cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care, we're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care, we aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care, we aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
Welcome to the closing session for TechEd 2013. To kick things off, let's hear it for one of Microsoft Australia's technical evangelists, Rocky Heckman.
All right. Thank you all for coming. We're glad you stayed, of course. We hope this week's been pretty good for you. We hope that you've had your mind blown a bit by all the advances in technology and advances that have happened. We talked about the birthday and celebrating. 20th TechEd, this is my 10th. Jeff's been here for all of them, and we had one of our newest evangelists, Esther, in the beginning. Which I actually learned something from Esther. I learned that YOLO is basically carpe diem for lazy people, right? So one of the things I wanted to share with you is that we've all worked hard. We hope you've had your minds blown. We hope you drank a lot of beer. And we've worked on getting the best speakers we can down here to talk to you guys. And one of my favorites has been our corporate vice president of Windows Azure, Scott Guthrie.
Well, thanks everyone for coming here this week. I hope you've had a great conference. This is my second trip to Australia, and it's been too long since I've been back, and so I've really enjoyed this week having a chance to chat with a lot of you and getting a chance to see some of this lovely country. In terms of what I'm going to spend the next sort of 45 minutes talking about this morning or this afternoon is a little bit about Windows Azure, which is Microsoft's cloud platform, and hopefully kind of leave you with a few thoughts in terms of what you can do with it, a little bit about what it provides and some of the things and the directions that we're taking it and some of the cool things that we kind of expect that you're going to be able to build with it. So let me talk just a little bit about what it is. At a high level, as I mentioned, Windows Azure is Microsoft's cloud platform, and we've kind of built it around a couple of core tenets. And they kind of reflect across the feature set, and you'll see in some of the demos and some of the customer conversations a little bit later. One, we try to make Windows Azure super flexible. When we first launched Windows Azure, we embraced a model we call Platform as a Service, which enabled you to build very powerful, rich, robust applications, and enabled you to really design for the cloud in a rich way. One of the things we've done since then is we've also added to the platform something we call Infrastructure as a Service, which is the ability to run any standard virtual machine using Windows or Linux in our cloud as well. And we think this combination of being able to run infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, being able to take the best of the Windows, the .NET, and the SQL world, as well as be able to integrate open source, ends up being kind of a very special thing that lets you build lots of great applications and really do it very productively. I mentioned open, and I mentioned a couple different technologies there like Linux, and that sometimes surprises people at a Microsoft event. But that is one of the core tenets also within Windows Azure that we've tried to embed very deeply into the product, which is this notion of openness and this ability for you to integrate with existing systems that you have, regardless of what type they are, and be able to bring and be able to use any type of stack on top of our cloud platform. And then the last tenet that we've kind of really embraced and we think kind of differentiates us from a lot of the others in the market is something we call consistency. And one of the nice things about Windows Azure, it's built using the same hypervisor, the same core Windows subsystem that we use in our on-premises private cloud environments. And we spend a lot of time with Windows Azure making sure that you can actually use the same skills, the same .NET, the same SQL, the same Windows skills with Visual Studio and TFS in both environments, both on-premises and in the cloud. And this ability for you to kind of use the same skills in both places to be able to shift applications between the two environments and be able to couple them together ends up being really powerful and gives you lots of options and a lot of flexibility. In terms of kind of where Windows Azure is today, we're located around the world. We have a number of what we call regions, which are pockets of data centers that we run where you can host applications. And one of the things you're going to see over the next 12 to 18 months is a pretty ambitious expansion of the regions that we're in today. And we'll probably be in over 20 regions around the world within about 18 months from now. And the benefit about this is it basically means when you build your applications, you can choose to run them anywhere within the world. And so all the features are available in all the regions. And this gives you lots of flexibility, again, as an organization, where you can now enter a global market. You can host your applications everywhere and be able to reach and be close to all your customers. And one of the things we're really excited that we announced a few months ago is that we're opening up not just one, but two new regions inside Australia. And so we're going to have a new region in the New South Wales area as well as within Victoria. And that basically means you can use the full Azure feature set. You can deploy your applications into one or the other or both. And that gives you not only broad reach into the Australian market, but also by having two regions there, you also have the comfort, which is you actually have some separation, at least 500 miles between the two. And so you also have redundancy in a disaster kind of scenario. You can know that you actually have multiple options for where you can host your applications and really bet your business on top of our cloud. A lot of people often ask me, so what does a data center look like? What does a region look like? And so what I thought I'd do is actually just show for 60 seconds what a typical Windows Azure data center looks like. And so we're going to roll a simple video here so you get a sense of what it looks like inside. Basically, we got lots of machines. We have tens of thousands of servers that we run, and typically within these kind of containers. We don't have many people, but the ones we do have are very strong. Basically, we kind of assemble these servers, put them in these containers, wire up power and cooling to them. And then from that point on, it's pretty much a lights out operation. And the cool thing is it means that you as IT professionals and as developers can basically remotely control that infrastructure. You can spin up the servers you need just when you need them. You only pay by the minute with Windows Azure, and when you stop your VMs, the billing stops. So it gives you a very flexible environment where you can kind of spin up and spin down resources on demand, and it really puts you in control in terms of running this environment. It ends up being really powerful. So what I thought I'd do is actually just show a couple demos. And to begin with, I'm going to show off a couple of the new virtual machine capabilities that we launched a few months ago within Windows Azure. This basically provides, as I mentioned earlier, the ability for you not only to run Windows, but also Linux VMs in the cloud. You can run them standalone, or you can stitch them together. We support rich networking capabilities. So you can set up a virtual private network where you can link your existing on-premises network into the cloud in a secure way. Or you can span multiple regions or multiple data centers in a very rich way. And lets you basically run any workload within it, whether it's applications, whether it's things like SharePoint or SQL. You can run all those types of things. Ends up being really powerful for a bunch of scenarios. So let's go ahead and actually walk through a few demos of this in action. And you can see how you can use it. So what I have here is a simple admin tool. This is our Windows Azure admin tool. And it's basically browser-based. So when you log in, you can see all of the applications and infrastructure pieces that are running inside our cloud. And everything that you do through the admin tool can also be scripted with PowerShell, or you can go ahead and write applications using either a .NET API or just a raw REST API, and you can fire commands in order to spin up and spin down resources as well. So it's very powerful, very flexible. And what you're seeing here is just a bunch of the different types of resources you can create. And so you can see we have lots of different types of resources that we support. I could create, for example, virtual machines, or say a SQL database, or a Hadoop cluster, or a variety of other things. In this case here, I'm just going to go ahead and create a virtual machine. We'll call it TechEd AZ 2013. I can choose from a variety of what we call images. So you can see I have Windows, and I have Linux, and SQL images already pre-populated. Give it a username, password. And I can basically choose where in the world I want to go ahead and run this. And so I could choose, for example, let's say Southeast Asia. Go ahead and create. And that basically spins up and just kicked off a provisioning process, which will go ahead now and actually deploy that virtual machine in that location that I went ahead and specified. In about 3 or 4 minutes, I'll have that virtual machine fully loaded, and I can now go ahead, log in as an administrator, and do anything I want within it. What I'm going to show here is just a few virtual machines that I actually already have running. One of them here is one that I deployed, in this case here, on the East Coast region of the US. And you can see once you have a virtual machine, you can drill in. You can see lots of status information around it in terms of how much CPU or utilization it's using. You can attach disks to it, so you can actually have persistent storage of any type. And you can go ahead and store anything you want within it. And then one of the things you can do is just go ahead and hit connect. And when you do that, I can go ahead and just launch a virtual desktop session. And this is going across the East Coast of the US, so it's going completely around the world. And basically, in another few seconds here, you'll see I'm logged in. I'm an admin now on this box. And there we go. I now have Server Manager up with Windows Server 2012. I can install anything I want within this virtual machine. I can configure it however I want. I could put SQL. I could put my applications in IIS. I could go ahead and put SharePoint or anything else I want within it. And I now have the ability to basically run this machine in the cloud and do whatever I want with it. And hopefully you just get that sense of it's really easy to create one. It's really easy to start remote desktoping in. In a matter of minutes, you can basically have your infrastructure stood up, and you're in control in terms of what you want to do within it. So this is a simple example of just sort of a VM that I've created in the cloud and using. Other kind of advanced features I mentioned that you can actually take advantage of include virtual networking. And so one of the things you can also do in that create wizard there is just go ahead and create a new virtual network. And as part of creating a virtual network, you can specify the VNet settings, the subnet rules that you want to go ahead and specify and configure. You can also set up what's called a gateway. And so you can see here I have a gateway that's been created. And what the gateway does is it allows me, if I want to surround a bunch of virtual machines with basically a private network. And with the gateway, I can then tunnel that network into my on-premise corporate environment, or I can even allow individual developers, if I want to connect from their dev machines and VPN into a network that I'm running inside the cloud. And this, again, makes it really easy for you to interoperate with any existing environment you have. and this private networking support gives you the option where if you want to use the cloud as infrastructure, but if you don't want to expose it to the entire world and you want to make it just private to either your employees or to your corporate network, you can do that in a very safe and secure way. And again, take advantage of the cloud for a bunch of new scenarios. So just to kind of illustrate this as an example here, just walk through kind of a simple scenario where I've got a virtual machine running. And this particular virtual machine, if you scroll down, one of the things that's interesting about it is it's running, but you'll notice there's no public IP address for it. It has this little dash. And that's basically because this virtual machine has no access to the corporate or the internet, so there's no public endpoint that anyone can go ahead and hit this virtual machine because it's running inside a private virtual network running inside Azure. And so you might ask, why is that at all interesting? How could you actually use this virtual machine if you can't connect to it? Well, you can connect to it, but you have to go through a virtual private network in order to do it. And once you do it, you can see that the internal IP address is 10.0.1.4. That's right below it. But I can't hit 10.0.1.4 from this machine directly unless I actually set up a virtual private network tunnel to this environment. So how do I do that? Well, basically what I can do is just go to that network tab. I can download a little script that's going to set up a virtual private connection to my laptop. And you can see there's my ScottGoo VNet that's actually been wired. And just like I might on Windows VPN into my corporate network, I can go ahead now and VPN into my Azure network. And in a matter of a few seconds, you'll see I now have a VPN connection set up to the network I defined inside Azure, which is called ScottGoo VNet. And once I do that, I can now go ahead and launch remote desktop. I'm going to go ahead and tunnel this VPN, this machine, using the 10.0.1.4 internal private IP address. And now this machine that's, again, not exposed on the internet at all, that's only available inside this virtual private network, I can now connect to directly from my dev machine. And I can now access it just like it was down the hall from my corporate office. And you know, sort of one example, again, of how you can use some of these virtual networking capabilities, take advantage of these virtual machines. You can run any software in them, and it, literally in a matter of minutes, basically stand up your own data center environment, your own infrastructure, and use it however you want. So last thing I'm just going to show in terms of demos here that I think I talked a little bit about flexibility. Hopefully you've seen that through some of these little demos. Talked a little bit about openness. Hopefully also you've seen this reflected a little bit throughout here. But I also want to talk a little bit about consistency and some of the power that that enables. And so I've been creating these virtual machines. So I got three of them, a couple of them now running in a few different environments. What's nice about these virtual machines is they're just running the standard version of Windows and or SQL or any of the other products I install on them. That I might be using in my on-premises environment. And in fact, you can take your on-premises licenses and you can use them in Windows Azure, so you don't have to rebuy them. You can just go ahead and deploy and use them as well. But what's nice about these virtual machines is not only can you just reuse the same software, but the way they're actually persisted on disk is using the same VHD file format that you use with Hyper-V in an on-premises environment. And so if you actually launch this little storage tool, you can see here are the VHD files for those VMs that are actually running inside Azure. And you can see literally that's what they're called. And notice the .vhd extension at the end. This is literally the exact same physical file format as if I was running this virtual machine on my laptop or on a server inside my local data center. And in fact, I could even go ahead and just right-click and hit download and literally download the VM that I just created inside Azure. Download it, boot it up on my local environment, and everything would just work. There's no import or export process required. There's no software changes or scripts that I need to run in order to convert them from public to private cloud. I can basically use the exact same physical file in both places. And just as I could download a VHD, I could also now go ahead and upload an existing Hyper-V-based image that I have on-premise and boot it up and run it inside Azure. And so that flexibility, and if we go back to the slides, I'm going to talk to that a little bit more. That flexibility whereby, you know, you can basically create a virtual machine that you already have on premises with Windows Server 2012 and basically just upload it and boot it up inside Azure. the ability to take a VM that we've created inside Azure and download it, and again, boot it up on the existing hardware you already have. And with our partners that run service providers that use Hyper-V as well, the flexibility to basically take one of our VMs, move it over into their facility, and boot it up, or take one of their VMs and move it into an Azure facility and boot it up. Just really, we think that consistency and that flexibility of being able to run it everywhere, you know, ensures both that you have no lock-in, but also that it gives you just a ton of options and flexibility as you think about your corporate investments and your corporate environment. And you're going to see the overall Microsoft software stack on the server side going forward each year. That consistency is going to get richer. The ability to use the same management stack, the same development stack in all three of those types of environments is going to get better. And we think that's really differentiated, and hopefully at the end of the day, gives you lots of options and a lot of things that you can do with it. So I talked a little bit about this from an infrastructure perspective. And I know there's a lot of IT professionals in the audience. Hopefully you've seen a few things here that kind of get you excited and kind of get you interested in terms of how you might be able to integrate this into your infrastructure environment. For the developers in the audience, I also want to kind of highlight some of the opportunities that this gives you from a dev test per scenario, and where you can actually use this infrastructure not only to run apps, but you can also now use it in order to build your apps as well. Quick question here. How many people have MSDN licenses? A lot of people do have MSDN licenses. How many people know that with each MSDN license, you get up to thousands of dollars of free Azure cost hosting each year? Good. If you don't know, hopefully the next couple slides will kind of educate you about what you can do with it. One of the things we've tried to do, both with our MSDN offering, but also with the core Azure product itself, is really enable a bunch of great dev test scenarios. And I'll kind of walk through a few of them right now. One of the things that we've done with Windows Azure this summer is move to a model where when you stop VMs, still have them deployed in Azure, but you've just basically powered them down, you're no longer running them. There's no charge. And what this is useful for a variety of scenarios. But one of the things that's really nice for dev test is it basically means if you're a developer and you're building something and you want to spin it up in the cloud and use it for a little while, and then maybe overnight you don't need it, or on the weekend you don't need it, you can basically just turn it off and the billing stops. And when you need it the next morning again, fire a command and it's back up and it's running. And that ability to kind of spin up and spin down resources and only pay for literally the minutes when you're using it, we think really kind of is a game changer in terms of driving costs down and providing an environment where, as a developer, you can now get the infrastructure you need when you need it, you know, at a fraction of the cost it would take today. One of the things we've also done this summer is enabled all of the MSDN licenses that you already have as part of a developer and provided the rights for you to use those in our cloud environment. And so you can basically take the existing MSDN licenses you already have, run them all inside Azure, inside those VMs. We've also then gone ahead and are providing special rates that are available for MSDN customers on Azure. And what this means is basically this is sort of the standard rate for some of these products. You can see basically we have a flat rate of about 6 cents per hour that you can now use for anything for dev test. You can have any number of these instances that you want. So if you're a large company and you want thousands of VMs that are using them, you can run thousands of VMs at these discounted rates. And again, save you versus, you know, on-premises or versus any other cloud environment out there. This ends up being much, much cheaper for you to use. And then just to sweeten the deal a little bit more, one of the other things that we've done is we've given every MSDN customer free Azure credits. That's sort of $60 for a professional subscription, $110 for premium, and $160 for ultimate. And these are credits that you get every single month, so they reset every month, and you can basically use them on anything that you want to run inside Windows Azure, all of those discounted rates. And to kind of put this into quantify this, it basically means you could run three virtual machines 31 days of the month for 16 hours a day and never have to pay a penny. So if you're a developer and you want a test environment, you want to do load testing or something like that, you can go ahead, spin these up, and literally have them running pretty much the entire month and use them for whatever you want from your dev test environment. You could have 80 VMs for a 20-hour load test. So if you want to run a lot of stress on your application, you can spin up all, you know, 80 of them to run that test. And again, you're not having to pay a penny that month in order to do that scenario. you could create 50 HD Insight notes. If you want to do a massive Hadoop job and build some great data analytics for your company, you could do that. You could do a whole deep analytic run for 10 hours, not have to pay a penny. And if you want to build web apps and use our database features, you create up to 100 websites and SQL databases, basically, again, at no cost, and use that all from your MSDN credits. So it's a great offer. It's a great thing that keeps on giving every month. And if you haven't tried it out, definitely recommend signing up and doing it. One of the things that we do is inside the portal, we have a little drop-down medallion that you can click, so you can always know how many credits that you've already used up. And you can see at the top, you have this many hours or this many days remaining, and here's how much credits are remaining. And if you click it to more details, you can also see the burn down rate of what you're using. Cool thing about this is if you're an MSDN customer and you go to Azure and sign up, you also no longer need a credit card. So you never have to worry about entering your credit card. You never have to be worried about being billed. As long as you stay within those rates, and that's usually enough rates that you can basically pretty much do the entire month without having to pay anything. It costs you nothing. It's a great way to try out and start using the product. So that's a little bit in terms of just from an infrastructure and some of the dev test scenarios that it enables. Azure itself is much richer. We have a full, rich platform of capabilities that you can take advantage of. A number of what we call building block services that are provided with the core product, ranging from the ability to host web apps, SQL databases, Hadoop jobs, mobile backends, media, streaming, and a bunch more. As developers, you know, one of the things I think is fun about Azure, and part of the reason I kind of moved to Azure and been excited about it, is the fact that it gives you kind of a rich kind of Lego set, if you will, of blocks that you can take advantage of and use to build really, really powerful applications. And hopefully you've seen some of the talks here, including some of the ones that I gave this week, where we touched on some of these different types of capabilities and some of what you can do with them. It's really powerful, and there's just lots of great stuff that you can take advantage of. What I thought I'd do just to kind of close out this afternoon is walk through a couple of customer examples and actually invite them on stage to talk a little bit about how they're using Windows Azure and how they've been able to take advantage of it in order to build some applications, often in the matter of just months, getting them out live in production, and being able to kind of really drive a ton of business value with the cloud today. And hopefully leave you with a sense of some of the use cases and how some of the scenarios for how it's being taken advantage, that people are using it today, and how you can take advantage of it as well. I'd like to invite John from MYOB to talk about their solution and some of the things that they're doing with it now.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm John Azariah. I'm the senior application architect for MYOB. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about our company, the product that we built, and the platform that we used to build it. MYOB, as you probably know, is a household brand. We are the market leader in building accounting solutions for the small and medium enterprise space for Australia and New Zealand. We have over 70% market share. We make business life easier for over 1.2 million businesses every in the Australia and New Zealand space. A few years ago, we took our flagship product, which is the product I work on, called AccountRight. We took that, driven by the need to provide a flexible, open, reliable, consistent, and secure platform to allow people to collaborate better. And we took the product that was originally a desktop application, rewrote it in .NET, and built it so that we could put it into Azure. So we hosted it in Azure. It's a .NET product. It's built against SQL Azure. And today, we have thousands of customers using this product. They used to have to use manual and inconvenient ways of collaborating with their accountants. Today, they have a secure way, a flexible way of inviting people, and a secure way of sharing their data so that their accountants can view their information in real time and provide value-added services. This is an enormous improvement. It makes people very, very happy. We couldn't have done this without Azure. We have tens of thousands of databases in Azure. Over 250 servers run this stuff. And as the pace of adoption increases, the pace of technology increases, We innovate more. We put new features in the product. More customers join. We depend on Azure's flexibility to be able to scale out. In fact, we use virtually every piece of the platform as a service that Windows Azure offers to allow us to get this solution to them. It's a compelling product, and we could not have done it without Windows Azure. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a bunch. That's great. Yeah, I think MYOB is a great example of an awesome customer that's built on top of our platform. And as an ISV, they're a great example of a wonderful Australian ISV that's really getting tremendous success in the market. And kind of as we mentioned, that global presence that Azure has means that for companies that want to expand outside their borders, that you can now have a cloud environment. You can actually now have infrastructure all over the world that you can deploy your apps. And that ability to kind of reach that global market is something that I think is really special and really ends up being an equalizer because of the cloud. Next customer I want to invite on stage is Cash Converters. And James Miles, who's a software development manager with them, talk a little bit about their point of sale solution and how they're also betting on top of Azure and some of the success they've had with it. So here's James.
Headed for the open door. Tell me what you waiting for. Yes.
So Cash Converters are an international pawn broker and personal loans retailer. We have over 700 stores worldwide in 21 countries. And the reason I'm here today is we've built a point of sale system in the Windows Azure platform. What we did is we took our existing point of sale system that was written in .NET for the Windows platform, and we lifted that and put it in the cloud. And within 3 months, we had a proof of concept where our store in Perth City was running against the cloud. This means that when someone walks into the store and takes a guitar to the counter, that sale, when that guitar is scanned, the information's being pulled down from the cloud, a receipt is printed, and a record of that is made. Every transaction goes through the Windows Azure platform. This has great benefits for our business. We've got a reliable solution, so we can fail over from one geo-region to another. It's a scalable solution. And most of all, it's a flexible solution. If the business decides that tomorrow they want to open a store in Dubai, there's a data center coming online nearby. And generally, we're just really happy with the products that we've created.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch. And one more customer I kind of want to talk a little bit about. We've talked about some of the business benefits and some of the impact, from an economic perspective that moving to the cloud and hopefully moving to a cloud like Azure can bring. I also want to talk about some of the new types of applications that are possible that can really also just have a bigger, social impact and really start to change, hopefully, the world for a better. And this is one I kind of wanted to highlight from Bernardo's that has a social welfare application that they're using and hosting inside Azure that's hopefully having a big impact on people's lives. So we can go ahead and show the video of it in action.
Most children who enter out of home care have multiple placements. Oftentimes, their memories are very fragmented around why they entered care and why decisions were made. They regularly move around. The sad fact is that kids do, have very fractured lives often when they're in out-of-home care.
I'm Jude Morvitzer. I'm Senior Manager with Bernardo's Australia, and we developed software applications for social workers to use.
My name is David McGee. I'm a Windows Azure Technical Specialist here in Australia. I heard about the project about 2 years ago. One of our partners, Redify, asked if I could be involved in their training where I met the Bernardo's IT manager, and she explained some of the challenges he's had about rolling out the My Story system and their vision for aggregating multiple agencies and their data into one place.
My Story, Our Journey, and that name more or less says everything. It's about people, it's about their lives, it's about what difference are we making? Are we doing things well enough? This is a software application that's not something that it's used when you have time, you know, end of a day, whatever. This actually helps in assists you with your thinking about what you're doing and with the doing. You can't replace growing up in a stable and caring environment, but you can help make it less damaging for kids when they do come into care. We had a young boy who came into care, and he just came, he was very young, he was under five, and he kept on saying he had a brother, all right? So that's what I wrote down, that he's got a brother, and I said, is he older or younger? And he said he was just older, and that, so I put that in. He ended up going into a long-term care placement because of that information had been recorded in a clear and apparent way, so it was actually noticed and found. They tracked down, it took them nearly a year, but they tracked down this child did have an older brother and was reunited with the older brother.
I normally deal with large deployments of Azure that are based off of cost, are based off of scalability. And they weren't really two factors that were that important here. What was important here and what interested me about getting involved in the project was Bernardo's have a solution that is about people. And when you deal with people, you're dealing with people's lives. You're dealing with how the technology affects them. And so enabling them to get a solution at the door on a day-to-day basis affects hundreds, thousands of people, not just the children, but the children's families. So it's an opportunity to use Windows Azure in a different way and to show really how it can benefit not just the big end of town, but also the smaller charitable and other organizations.
So in terms of, I talked a little bit about this morning, this afternoon, hopefully you got a brief taste of Windows Azure and some of what you can do with it, ranging from infrastructure to platform as a service to global scale. It's designed to be super flexible. You can integrate it in any environment. You can run any workload you want with it. It's open. You can integrate and take advantage of pretty much any technology with it. And hopefully you can see from the consistency standpoint this ability for you to take and use the same skills that you already have on premises, bring them to the cloud in a very easy way, and also have an environment where you can mix and match resources that run on premises and in the cloud, and you can exchange back and forth. You can use it for disaster recovery. You can use it for global expansion. Ends up being really, really powerful. And we think it's something that hopefully can really change businesses, drive your businesses forward even more. And I think also hopefully on a professional level, it's something that I think as you hopefully get involved in the cloud, you'll find it's an environment that's really fun, you can really be productive in, and you can really have a huge impact, whether it's for business or for other types of uses. And so I definitely want to encourage everyone, if you haven't tried it, give Windows Azure a try. You can visit our website at windowsazure.com. Everyone can sign up for a free trial, no obligation. If you're an MSDN customer, as I mentioned earlier, definitely sign up and start taking advantage of those MSDN benefits. And we're really looking forward to seeing what you build with it. And so I hope you had a great TechEd Australia this week. I hope you learned lots of stuff, and we're really looking forward to seeing the applications and some of the solutions that you build. We hope to see you again next time. So thank you very much.
All right, you got to hear from the very amazing, in my opinion, Scott Guthrie. And it wouldn't be one of our locked notes without little bits of stuff happening, like Fitbits going off on stage. But we want to tell you a few minutes, or tell you some things a few minutes about what we can do with this. And this quote from Albert Einstein makes me think about this. Make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. For example, how many of you went and had your mini-me's created, the 3D printers? Kind of slick, isn't it? Can you imagine trying to do this 3 years ago? Getting yourself scanned with a Kinect, not that we had them, and then having a 3D mini-me printed of you in no time at all. I think that's pretty slick, and it shows how we can use this technology that we've been learning about this week to make the impossible simple. And I want to try to illustrate this by giving you a little bit of my background and an example from that. Now, I started out as an aircraft mechanic in my previous life. Then I worked at Cape Canaveral for a while, doing some strange things and watching rocket launches and things. And then I got to the point of working on the president's crypto communication system for his telephone. So for a challenge, I decided to switch to the Windows 95 help desk. Yeah. And then I became a hacker for the good guys and somehow ended up here. Go figure. So I've had a pretty eclectic career, but I've noticed that all around us are examples of where technology has simplified the impossible. Here's an example from that past, or not so distant past. This is a GT7200 turbofan engine. This is what is on the Airbus, the A380 Airbus. It's a seemingly complex piece of machinery that can get that umpteen thousand ton aircraft airborne. It's a big turbofan engine that at full power can blow over a school bus with the thrust, or a different bus of your choice. When you think about it, this piece of technology made the impossible idea of flying simple, right? I'll tell you what, I'm going to take about 45 seconds and teach you how they work in a simple manner. So let's look at this piece of technology. There's four sections to it. Air is sucked into the beginning of the engine in the first stage. It's squeezed in the second part of the engine. It's mixed with fuel and ignited in the third stage, and air is blown over the back of the turbines. That only spins two moving parts in the engine. Only two. Now, there were in the old days, there were locomotives that had similar amounts of power, but just the engine and the locomotive alone had over 5,200 moving parts that broke a lot. So we've been able to simplify technology to make that idea of the impossible idea of flying possible. Now, this amazing piece of technology can be summed up into four words. So, I had a very sordid history. Now, what you're looking at on the screen are human skin cells, obviously a bit magnified. The average human skin cell is less than 1/10 the thickness of a human hair. Inside the nucleus of this skin cell is where your DNA resides. Inside that DNA, there are 150,000 genes. Now, when we're trying to solve problems with technology, like how do we cure Crohn's disease? How do we cure Alzheimer's? How do we cure diabetes? The secret is in these genes. So by being able to apply technology, we've made the impossible idea of figuring out how to fix these things simpler. So what we did a while ago is we built a system in Windows Azure to help do gene mapping. And in that system, we did 63,524,915,020 gene mapping operations. Not just 3 years ago, that process would have taken almost 25 years to do. Windows Azure did it in 3 days. You have this capacity at your disposal. You can do this. You can go out with your ideas, and you can make the impossible simple. So take all the brain cramming you've done this week. Take the new advances in Windows Server and Windows Azure and Visual Studio. Go out and conquer the world. We would really like to see you simplify the impossible. With that, I would like to bring Jeff Alexander on the stage to give you your goodies.
How you guys doing? Come on, a bit more. So I get the fun part. I get to give away stuff. So I really liked what we were doing in the lock note there. I think it was the first time in a long time that we were doing tech in the lock note. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you to Scott and Rocky for showing us that stuff. A couple of words that really resonated with me is simplifying the impossible. I think now more than ever, we have the opportunity with software to change the world. You guys have the opportunity to do that. When I started at Microsoft 26 years ago, that was kind of what we were saying, is that we could change the world with software. Now more than ever, you have the opportunity to do that. So when we started planning TechEd in April of this year, we had a couple of things. The first one was around deployment. So one of the things I want you guys to do to take away is to go back to your offices and deploy this stuff. Learn about all the stuff that you've learned over the last week. The second piece is all about apps, okay? The second piece was about developing apps. We announced a competition earlier when Michael was in the keynote about the September of apps. That competition runs throughout September. Make sure you actually go and develop those apps. You've already done that in the Dev Den. There's already been a bunch of apps. A huge amount of apps have already been developed. Keep it going through the September of apps, and there's the details of that for you. TechEd is a huge event for us to actually put on, and there's a lot of statistics that go with it. And a couple of those I want to run through now is some of the fast facts. Check out some of these numbers. You guys were really busy this week, apparently. You guys did a whole bunch of labs. 1,100 labs were completed. 897 instructor-led labs were completed. 164 exams completed. That deserves a round of applause. Well done. That is awesome. And I don't believe I've ever seen this at a TechEd, but 5 attendees achieved 1,000 out of 1,000 on a certification exam. So, if you are here and you did that, can you please stand up? Who did 1,000 out of 1,000? Well done. I see them up the back there. That is awesome. I struggle to get 700, but there you go. So, some more facts for you before we get on to the giveaways. TechEd is a big event, and there's a lot of cable that goes around. Almost 7,000 meters of cable is laid for the event, which is 40 times the length of this convention center and weighs in at a hefty 270 kilograms. Pretty interesting that goes on. I'm going to talk a little bit about how long that takes. How long does it take? In a second. I thought a slide was coming up before that, but there you go. That's all good. We have a private cloud running our entire environment. So we have a bunch of servers that are way, way tucked behind the scenes. And we have 101 virtual machines running our private cloud, running on Microsoft's own System Center 2012 and Windows Server 2012 platform, driving the entire infrastructure that you guys are using during the event. How many of you guys used Wi-Fi during the week? Now, this is a 50-50 shot. Was it good? Yes? A few people said yes. This is the toughest thing, right? You all got devices, right? So there's 100 Wi-Fi radios. There's a 1 gigabit internet connection. Some of you may have seen me tweeting during the week when we had the network up and running. A 1 gigabit connection, thanks to our partner, Telstra, to provide us that connectivity. So that was really awesome to have that connectivity during the event. We wouldn't be able to do the event without that type of connectivity. So we're really glad about that. It takes a while to install. Our crew gets here 5 days before the event to install, and they're taking it out now. It takes about 7 hours to remove it, and they're out of here. Okay? So it's a huge event to set up, but then it goes out a lot quicker after that. Last one. You guys are a social bunch, aren't you? A few people on Twitter. I think that number is probably more like 7,000 now, because you've been tweeting during the keynote, sorry, the lock note. Almost 6,800 mentions on the AU TechEd stream. I've been following that on, and people seem to be liking the content. I'm the content owner for the event. How have you enjoyed the content? It's been good? We make sure we try to get technical content for you guys, and we want to make sure that we get the right content for the right audience. That's one of the goals we have for the event. All right. Last fun fact. You guys eat a lot of food. We didn't get the statistics for the chicken and the salads and all that kind of stuff. But you consumed about 4,600 liters of soft drink. Well done. Good work. Hopefully that kept you awake. We didn't have the coffee on there, but there you go. Now to the really important part. A couple of rules, though. Don't go anywhere until we give everything away, okay? You got to be in the room. So partners are a big part of our event, And we want to invite up Garth Luke, who is the Senior Vice President for AvPoint for Asia Pacific region, who's gonna help me give away this awesome motorbike that's up here. Thanks, Garth. All right. Let's see.
Let's do this, eh?
We want
to spit. Who wants to win a bike?
Who wants to win a bike? Now, this is the fifth time, I think,
yes,
that AvPoint has given away a motorbike. And it's the fourth year that AvPoint has been our major sponsor, so we thank you for that.
All right,
dive deep. Let's go, let's see.
It's you.
We ready? A. Double zero. 21. Are you in the room? Over there. Come on up. There we go. We'll grab a quick photo, I think. Well done.
Thank
Congrats.
You. Thanks. You smile for the camera over there.
You ride a motorbike?
Well done.
Awesome.
He does now. Thanks for that.
Thanks, mate.
All right, awesome. We'll move that back to the back. Thank you. He's like, oh, do I have to go on stage? Please, please don't make me go up on stage. All right. One of our other major partners is Nokia, or as my good friend Rick says, Nokia. I don't know why he does that, but anyway. We're going to give away 5 Nokia Lumia 925s. All right? Does that sound like a good deal? All right, we'll do that. So Garth's going to help me with that. We also have the big birthday bonanza. We'll do that at the end. But we're going to do the... Hopefully everybody's got one of these in there. And Garth's going to... And after you've actually... if you are a winner, please stay in your seat until the fifth winner is announced. And you guys can go down and see Fran, who's over on the side there, and she has the phones there. Okay? All right, first one. Craig Chapman. Craig Chapman, are you in the room? Pedro. Barry Conway. I did ask, what if the first 5 aren't here? What do we do? Or just we keep going? Oh God, I can't read that one.
Keith.
It's Winago. Keith somebody.
Keith Winago.
Winago? Is there a Keith in the house? Try again.
No one wants a phone, eh?
Matt Justin. Hey! Yay! Put that one over there. Donitros Carvelas. I probably mispronounced it anyway, so there you go. Redraw. Luke McPherson. Yes.
How do you know so quickly?
That's right. All right, we got Phil
Hawkins.
Phil Hawkins. Yes. Tony O'Donohue. Man, you guys are waiting less and less for redraws. You must really want that phone. Hey. You're getting the hang of this, right? Christian Hansen.
Wow.
Ben Beresford. Oh, no. Amishka Pruahit. Yay!
Good girl.
That's four? Yeah. This is the last one. Do you notice I paused to give you that opportunity to say redraw? Sherda Kilik. Yeah. Okay, for those of you that have won the Nokia Lumia 925, congratulations. That's five of those. Now, the last one is for the big draw. As you know, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary of TechEd here, so we're doing a birthday bonanza. And I wanted to thank all of our exhibitors and sponsors for offering up a whole bunch of kit. We've got GoPro cameras, we've got a Lumia 925, we've got Beats headphones, we got a whole bunch of stuff from Nokia. Somebody told me there's a Surface Pro in there, but I'm not sure, I didn't see it. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, all kinds of cool gadgets that every geek's gonna love. So we're gonna draw that one once, and then we're done with the draw. So reach deep inside
who's
to see
the lucky guy.
Who's the lucky guy or gal? Behave on your redraws now. Merrick Nimco. Yeah. Yeah, no, are you kidding? No? Oh, that's not very nice.
No. It's no, right?
Merrick Nimco, you're not here. That's yours. Come on up. We're going to do the final one for you. Come on up. We'll do a photo for the last one.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Well done, mate. We'll just get a quick photo.
Sure.
Awesome. So you get the big, we call it a trolley trailer last year, but it's a birthday bonanza.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Check out that. Look at all that cool stuff in there. Lots of t-shirts. Well,
how am I going to fit it on the plane, though? That's the only problem.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how we go. But anyway, congratulations. And we can talk to Fran about the conditions of that over on the other side.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Thank you for Fran, yeah?
Yeah, no worries. All right. So I wanted to just, I thought to myself, how am I going to finish this all up? You guys get a flight. I need 30 seconds of your time. You all have your water bottles, right? Yeah. A couple of sessions had a little water bottle of the Dolphin Symphony. You all get what I'm talking about here? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start from this side of the room. We're going to do kind of a dolphin Mexican wave. All right? Let me just get my camera sorted out because I want to capture this, because how often do you get to do this, right? So on the count of three, just one, two, three, go from that side. All right, go back from that side. We're gonna call that the TechEd Geek Call, right? So, guys, thank you again for a wonderful TechEd. Without you guys, we wouldn't have it. Have a great trip back. We'll see you next year.